Stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in verse 14. We're going to talk about the temple of the living God, or not being unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Father, we pray that you would help us to see and understand your love and goodness. God, I pray that you would help us to draw us closer to you so that we can be wholly set apart, serving you, fulfilling the Great Commission, God, living out our purpose that you've called us to. Thank you so much for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The temple of the living God are unequally yoked. Now, what is it talking about? Right off the bat, we're given a command, and it comes from, the context helps us understand this. Paul's been defending his ministry, and he's just written in verses 11 and 12 and 13, he says, we've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. He says, our hearts are wide open. Basically, he said, I've been real, I've been open, I've been honest, I've written you letters, and I've offended you. I've called a spade a spade. I've called you out of your sin, and I love you. And he goes on to say, he says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you as children, widen your hearts also. What is he saying here? Some of the people were very caught up. The Corinthian church was caught up in the world and their selfish desires. And they're probably using this claim, like many of us do, we feel like victims. Well, he's wronged us. The Apostle Paul spoke, he spoke harshly to us. And the Apostle Paul says, look, I've been loving to you. I've told you the truth. He said, your problems are not with me. The problem is your own affections. Your problem is you're caught up in the ways of the world. He says, I've been opening my heart up to you. You open your hearts up to me. You accept me, and let's get things right here. And the Apostle Paul is trying to call the Corinthian people back to a proper relationship with God and with him as an apostle, as the one who's telling them and teaching them the truths of God. And so he starts out in verse 14, and he just gives us command. He says, don't be unequally yoked. I mean, this comes from Deuteronomy 20, verse 10, where it says that an ox and a donkey shouldn't be yoked together. Now, what will be the problem with that? Some of you go way back when you probably used to farm this time of year, and you would team up mules, right? And you want the mules to work together, and they have to work together, and they can be, and if they're not, you've got probably a mess on your hands and stubborn animals, and it's probably more work and frustration than anything. Well, when you put an ox and a donkey together, what's going to happen is there's not the same side. They don't have the same desires. They don't have the same speed. And they're just evidently really different animals. And it was told that you weren't supposed to be putting a donkey and an ox together. And so Paul's referring back to this Old Testament text to say, look, you followers of Jesus, don't be unequally yoked. Now, what is he talking about? We use this when we want our teenagers to act right. And don't be around these people. And you're not supposed to be married. You're not supposed to marry unbelievers. Right? That's one implication of not being unequally yoked. Believers are to marry believers. But I will say what's the implication of this text is please do not form partnerships with unbelievers. Because what this is going to do, it's going to weaken the Christian commitment, integrity, and standards. It's going to hurt the church. And you know what I mean here. If you put two people together that don't have the same desires, even in a marriage, let's take a marriage for instance. And you've got one that wants to follow Jesus and loves the Lord and is going a certain way. And then you take another one that has no heart for the Lord, that doesn't care about spiritual things, that's living for themselves or for the world. Then you're going to have a lot of friction. You're going to have a lot of chaos and frustration and heartache and fights. And some of you know what I'm talking about here. I think we all do. And so he's saying, the command is don't be unequally yoked. You know, be careful about your relationships with people, your partnerships with, and there's implications of that. This would be obviously with marriages. This would be business partnerships. And this would be relationships in the church. Matter of fact, that's really what he's talking about. When you see people in the church, he's not talking about unbelievers. Some people say, well, yeah, you're supposed to be separate, not have anything to do with unbelievers. That is not what he's saying here. In the Corinthian society, the organizations and the social activities ran in close conjunction with religious ceremonies. It was hard to separate the two. We're seeing that more and more with our churches these days. We'll make reference to this later, but all types of civic organizations and social justice and sports and activities and country clubs and Boy Scouts and I would even throw Awanas and Teen Kid and Upward Basketball. If we're not careful, we've got all of these different organizations that gets kind of convoluted and kind of confused as to what the church looks like and what the community looks like. And so if we're not careful, we start being so accepting of all of the people around us, and then you look out and you wonder why the church is falling apart and people are screaming and fussing over everything that's going on. It's because you've got light and darkness in the same body and family. You've got people that are more focused on idol worship than you have on worshiping the one true and living God. And so Paul is warning these Corinthians. He's saying, look, have nothing to do with these false apostles. He's going back to, he's been defending his ministry for five chapters here, since chapter 2, really, and we're in beginning of chapter 7. He's been defending his ministry. And he's had to do it because there's people that have come in the church that look good, they speak well, but really they have no desire to worship the Lord Jesus or help people know the truth. Something I wrote down is Satan doesn't want us fighting. I mean, Satan doesn't want to fight us because when he fights us, the church becomes stronger. What he wants is to join us. Because if Satan comes around us and joins us, then we become much, much weaker. Paul is warning them, do not be unequally yoked. And I'll say some more about that. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, just to illustrate this. 1 Corinthians, if you flip over a book, 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. He says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning at the sexually immoral of this world. He's saying, look, I didn't tell you not to associate with the sexually immoral people of the world. He says, or the greedy and the swindlers or idolaters. Since then, you would need to not go in the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. I heard it explained well. You know, Barry and I went fishing the other day. We were in water, but we didn't want the water in the boat. The water in the boat wasn't any good, but the boat in the water was fine, right? It's kind of the way Christians are to be in the world. We're out in the world, but we don't want the water in the boat. We don't want the world in us. If we are yoked with unbelievers in any type of business relationship, partnership, bad relationship at school, boyfriend, girlfriend, it's going to influence us. It's going to affect us. Paul says, look, I'm not telling you to go into a monastery and retreat from the world. Because in Corinth, a lot of people would get invited to the temple and they would eat meat offered to idols. Matter of fact, a lot of times they would use these pagan gods to send out the invitations. The god of so-and-so invites you. These people in this civic life, a lot of the strong believers would go to these things. It was just the society was because they what they did is they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus. They were firm in their convictions. And Paul says, I don't have a problem eating meat offered to a pagan god. He says, but if it caused my weaker brother to stumble, I will stay away from it. And what he's saying is, he says, and some of us get all bent out of shape. Well, I'm not going to Target or I'm not going to Starbucks. And you need to form your own convictions. There are places and things that put money at different things, that support things that Christians and followers of Jesus are against. But I think we would all be very surprised if we knew all the things related to those type things I just mentioned. Paul says there is freedom, there's liberty. We have been in Christ, we are set free. Live faithfully for the Lord. When we have a chance to influence other people in the world, speak the gospel, share Acts 1:8, go into all nations, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, as the Spirit of God comes upon you, be a witness, be my witness. You know, the believers, we can't just run. Hey, we're not going here, we're not going there. We have to be careful, we have to be wise. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, he's saying, what you need to worry about is that brother sitting on the back row that says, I'm a follower of Jesus, but he lives like a hoodlum. He's had 18 wives, and he has no regard for spiritual things. You need to be careful partnering with him. You need to be careful dealing with him. I've got a friend of mine that does a lot of marriage counseling. He's got a pretty big church. And he sits down with a lot of marriages of people in their church before they call it quits and throw in the towel. And he says, most of the time I can trace the problem back to the woman working where she's working. I'm not saying women shouldn't need to work, but I'm just saying, guys, if you're working to pay for that camper and you're letting your wife go off and she's being treated harshly, or she's got in a partnership with a man that's taking control of her or speaking down to her and it's affecting her, that's being unequally yoked. She's in a place to where she's being affected, and it's going to hurt her. It's going to hurt your marriage. It's going to harm your family. Sell the camper. It's not worth it. There are things that we need to value, and it's fixed to go ahead and talk about being set apart, being God's people. What does light have to do with darkness? What does the temple of God have to do with pagan practices and pagan religion? What does fellowship with Christ have to do with fellowship with Belial, or another word for Satan? It means wicked men, wicked, worthless men. All right? So in Mother's Day, I guess this is about as close as we can to applying this to mamas here and with daddies and children all together. How are you unequally yoked? What are the influences that you have given yourself to? And this is not just a relationship with a human being. This could be a video series you're watching, a TV series that you've let come into your home. It could be what is it? I don't like getting real specific with application, though I need to do a better job with application. But I want the Holy Spirit to bring to light the things that you are partnering with that is hurting your relationship with the Lord God right now. Let me go back to the text. Go back to the text of 2 Corinthians 6. So, after he writes that, he just gives a quick command right off the bat. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He goes, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? So we're talking about, you're a follower of Jesus. You've committed your life to Christ. That man over there that is clearly against me as an apostle, we've drawn a line in the sand. This man is a lawless person. People of God are to be righteous. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What have you given yourself to that is influencing you, that is causing you to be conformed to the world? So the question, first thing is, we see what does righteousness have to do with lawlessness? Look, let's continue looking at it here. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? These are just very just good contrasts. It helps us to see the difference, light and darkness. We love the light, right? Well, if we're filled with shame and guilt, and the Bible says that the people of the world love darkness. But as I think about my children, man, light is a beautiful thing. Light is representative of Christ being the light of the world. Light, the darkness has to flee. When light comes out, I see the beautiful sunshine, and It brings warmth to our heart and soul. But darkness, we associate evil and wickedness with darkness. What has to do with light? Unequally yoked is as contrasted as light and darkness, believers and unbelievers, righteous and lawlessness. It goes on to say, what accord or what fellowship has Christ with Belial? What accord has Christ with Belial, wicked, scandalous men? Another name for Satan. What accord does Christ have with that? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Look at it. Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And then he helps us to see, this is who we are. We go back to the Paul defending his ministry. He says, we have treasures in jars of clay. He says, we are a living letter of recommendation that he has. All right, he says that we are, I was trying to think about all of the things he calls us. We are triumphant. We are victorious. We are an aroma of life to life to people with Christ living in and through us. Remember that we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. Remember that we are ambassadors of Christ. All of these are passages that we've preached up until this point. Remember that we have the ministry of reconciliation. Remember that we are to be set apart and to be calling people to be reconciled to God. And so Paul has given us this identity, he's giving us this purpose, and now he's saying to keep that, to be true to who you are and who you call yourself. Get away from people that are going to influence you hardly, badly. Get away from those people that claim Christ and show no fruit. Darkness in the midst of light. Guys, we have to protect our churches. That's why I'm so glad we've started this new membership. People come to me sometimes and they say, I want to join. We can't just let anybody join the church. Do you know Jesus? People of the church know the Lord Jesus. They've come to faith in Him. They are devoting their life to Him. Hey, come on down the aisle, man. We'll sign you up. Praise the Lord. Light, darkness. Believers, unbelievers. So many churches, we look at them and we wonder why there's so many, why they look like the country club. Or they look like some organization. It's because you can't recognize who's light and who's darkness. You can't recognize those that are faithful to the Lord Jesus and those that are pleased with the things of the world and selfish desires and going to go their own direction. It's always a holy of holies. There was an inner place. It was a place where you would go and meet with God. A place where the priest would represent God and represent the people to God. The temple was a holy place. But now Paul says we are the temple of God. You know why we're holy? Because God now dwells in us. By the power of His Spirit working in and through us, we are to be holy, set apart, because we have been. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I didn't even give you that while ago. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Light. Fellowship. Unity, love, peace, joy, purpose. These are the things that we now celebrate and that who we are. We are God's temple because we house Him working in and through us. Goes on to say that we are the temple of the living God. I like that. This is not just a God that did something and He's dead and He's in the tomb. The living God, alive and well. How is He alive and well? Well, He lives through us. His messengers, those that have the ministry of reconciliation, His ambassadors, His church, His bride, the ones that have been called out, the ones that have been shown His favor, the ones He's given the great commission to go into all nations. Man. Do you see how this is built to a climax in this passage? He goes on to quote several Old Testament passages in Isaiah and Ezekiel. He says, God said, as God said, verse the back part of 16 there, He says, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. He says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will be their God. They shall be my people. want to look at this in 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21, and looking at light, having no, not being around darkness, and just looking at further helping us understand this relationship. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20 says this, "No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons." He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Y'all hear that? You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. He's saying, you cannot drink. He's saying, you know, this unity is important, being with God and not with partners of evil, drinking and fellowshipping with demons in a sense. That's what the representation in 2 Corinthians, that's what he calls him. He says, Satan, he tells him, I think it's over in 1 Corinthians. Let's see if I got it right here. He says that they are servants of Satan. These are the false apostles. They are servants of Satan. And we have to be careful of who we are letting influence us. To infiltrate churches under the guise of tolerance and cooperation is one of Satan's most cunning ploys. And I could give some more implications here, and I'm kind of nervous about doing that, but I went to a prayer, a National Day of Prayer the other day, and guys, we've got to be very careful that we don't bring politics in the church and that we wave the banner of American politics as kind of defining us as servants and followers of Jesus. You know, it's okay to pledge allegiance to the flag, and it's okay to sing God Bless America, but we need to be real careful when we're in our churches that make sure we are giving God our ultimate allegiance, that we are worshiping Him and Him alone, that we are thankful for Him and His blessings, but we're not getting confused as to who we are and what God's called us to. And we need to be careful about equating America to Israel and all these type things. That's a serious problem in the South. A very serious problem. That's one of the things. But even like sports, you have to be careful with that. You know, we need to be careful with medicine. You know, I look at Dr. Sawyer over here, and praise the Lord, we've got a man that loves the Lord and has an amazing practice. But I can tell you, he probably knows that some people and knows that in the psychiatry and psychology and even in chiropractic, it can be very cultish in ways if we're not careful. And I've been to places and people, man, they the way that the things that they come and the things they talk about, I'm like, man, that you need to be very careful. We worship the Lord Jesus. Because cults are all around us. And Satan loves to disguise himself with tolerance and cooperation and us working together and everybody get along. And guys, I'm telling you, we cannot forsake truth for unity. I know being united is an important thing as being a follower of Jesus, but light has nothing to do with darkness. Satan has nothing to do with Christ. Be careful. Be careful what's influencing you. Even this social justice movement, it's Marxism. This critical race theory, you know, Vodi Bakum has written a good book about it. It's something that may sound good on the surface, but it is a cult, people. Be careful about what you adhere to and what you just jump so quick, hook, line, and sinker into. Compare everything to Scripture. Ask God to open your eyes and to help you see clearly. As I told you, Satan doesn't want to fight the church as much as he does join it. When he comes against the church, it gets stronger. When he joins the church, it gets weaker. We could say a whole lot about this. But just to compromise by alliance with false religion was a constant and severe temptation for the struggling church in Corinth. You know, and that's what Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 Corinthians 10. When he was talking about that meat being offered to idols, he said, look, for the sake of my weaker brother, he says, I give it up. He said, I don't want the people that were coming out of, you can imagine, you know, Corinth was to be a Corinthian was to, you know, they had 1,000 temple prostitutes in Corinth that went out for their daily activities every single day. So you can imagine it was just a very cultic, religious, pluralistic, syncretistic you know, with mixing all kind of paganism and religion all together. And new believers were coming out of that. And there was all kind of threats around them. And so Paul spent years teaching them and helping them. And now this false apostle, just like in the Galatians and just like in the Colossians, remember the Colossian heresy? Remember they were mixing works and religion, and there was mysticism, and there was legalism, and it was all types of Gentile problems and Jewish problems, and they were mixing everything together. And Paul had to warn them. Paul had to warn the Galatians, and now Paul is warning the Corinthians: come out, don't be unequally yoked to these people. They are sheep, or wolves in sheep's clothing. So let's look at the promises. Let's look at the blessings here, and we'll move toward the end here. Go back to the text. Go back to the text. 2 Corinthians in verse 16. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. This is Leviticus 26:12. He says, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall walk and you shall be my people. When Paul is quoting these Old Testament texts, he kind of gives his paraphrase in light of the context to help guide them in spiritual truth, to help guide them with what they're dealing with in the current context. And so it may not be specific, but he's quoting parts of sections of the Old Testament law. That was Leviticus 26:12. In Isaiah 52:11, says, depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Israel was constantly reminded to be careful with their relationships with the people of the day. Don't marry pagan wives. That was the downfall of Solomon, remember? He married all of these wives, and he catered to all of the false gods, and it was a demise for him. Separation from the world involves more than keeping our distance from sinners. It means staying close to God. So I'm not just telling you what not to do and not being conformed to this world. It says being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not being unequally yoked does not just mean stay away from certain places. It means to continue to put things in your life that strengthens you spiritually, that draws you closer to Christ. It involves more than avoiding worldly entertainment. It extends to how we spend our time and money. Where are you going? Who are you doing it with? Who are you allowing to be around you? Who's pouring into your life? Who's strengthening you? Who's helping you? I'm going to do a wedding today. I'm dressed all nice with my suit on today because I've got a wedding out at Toon Farms. Fran and Joe, y'all know where that is, out at Toon Farms. And one of my biggest encouragement to this young couple, 22 and 23 years old, that are starting around on the right, trying to get started on the right foot, and I've been able to minister to them and love them and encourage them. And one of the things I keep telling them is surround yourself with good people. You know, first off, walk with the Lord Jesus, grow close to Him, but find people that are going to invest in you and help you walk the right path. Y'all, not being unequally yoked doesn't mean just stay away from certain things. It means continue to look at where you're going, look at how you spend your time and money, and find influences that are going to strengthen you, that are going to help you be conformed to the image of Christ and not the world, and not the world. We can't separate ourselves totally from all sinful influences. The Bible, you know, doesn't call us to do this. Nevertheless, we are to resist the sin around us without giving in. This cleansing is turning from sin, turning toward God. The Corinthians were to have nothing to do with paganism. They were to make a clean break with it, with their past, and they were to give themselves to God alone. But at times, they were in the community. They were in the temple. They were around lost people. Like we went and said, we want the boat to be in the water, but we don't want the water in the boat, right? Don't let the water get in the boat. Then you got a problem. The boat's going to sink. Has a different theological view than you that you can't understand, that you can't talk to and listen to and respect. Somebody that doesn't believe like you. The separation demanded here does not refer to someone who doesn't follow a certain set of rules for living the Christian life. You know, that's legalism. Well, they don't do all the things that I'm supposed to do. They don't say their prayers and read their Bible and take their kids to church, so I'm not going to have nothing to do with them. That's not what being unequally yoked here, being separate, has to do with. It does not mean retreating completely from the world into monasticism. I used to think that was so holy when people were the monks would go off in the wilderness and just live in communes and just spend time reading their Bible and praying all the time. And then I got to thinking that, how am I going to influence people for Jesus and fulfill the Great Commission if people are out there with just people just like them in the desert somewhere? That's not what being unequally yoked and coming out and being separate, that's not what it's referring to. It does not mean, as some in Corinth imagine, divorcing an unbelieving spouse. The Bible says if you're married and you find yourself a follower of Jesus, remain married, long as that person will remain married to you. 1 Corinthians 7, 12, and 13. Some were saying, well, we're unequally yoked, need to get divorced. Gave them a good out. That's not what it's talking about. It certainly does not cancel the church's responsibility to go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation, Mark 16:15. Or to go and make disciples of all nations, Acts 1:8, Matthew 28, 18 and through 20. The Corinthians in their current context would understand what Paul was telling them because he knew what they had already written to him. He had already told him in 1 Corinthians 9, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. He says to the Jews, you remember this verse? He says to the Jews, I became a what? A Jew. He says, 1 Corinthians 9, 19. He says to the Jew, I became a Jew. He says, in order to win the Jews, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became one as outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. He says, I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Paul had actually, remember, he had told them, have nothing to do with those that person the covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard, swindler. He didn't want them to be socially separate from non-Christians, though, but from unrepentant, professing Christians in the church. Like I said, believers will be involved in society. Believers need to be involved in politics. We need good people on the town square. Believers need to be involved in organizations in our community, in law, in medicine, in every type of area. Because that's what we do. We are salt and light. We are to influence. And Paul is sharing this with them. I tell you what, I want to just move toward a conclusion and just summing it all up. The Bible says these false apostles were servants of Satan. And in reality, that was 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15. These people that were joining with them, they were distorting all life and ministry in the church. They were not being true to form. They were pretty much acting like unbelievers, Paul would say you pretty much were if you're identifying with the false apostles. He's drawing the line in the sand. He says, these are ones, followers of Christ, be separate. Don't be unequally yoked to these false teachers and these false apostles. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We're followers of Jesus. We're to influence light, salt. Be careful of your relationships. Be careful of the things you watch and the things you let in your home. Be careful who your friends are hanging out with. Know your parents. Parents, know your parents of your friends before you send them over there. You know, just because they're good people and friendly people doesn't mean they have the same values that you have, that they love the Lord Jesus. Protect your wives. Protect your husband's wives. Know where you're going. Have accountability. Have your checks and balances in place. These are just implications and applications of being holy, being the temple of the living God, of not being unequally yoked. Come out. Paul said, he says, you'll enjoy blessings. You'll be sons and daughters as you live for Him. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Let's fulfill the Great Commission. Let's be faithful followers of Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, we are thankful that your word gives us direction and insight. Lord, we are your ambassadors. We are new creations. We are ministers of reconciliation. We have treasures in jars of clay. God, we are your servants, Paul says. And how can light have any fellowship with darkness? How can the temple of God have a relationship and have unity and have be in accord with pagan practices and idol worship and idols? God, we are separate. We have been transformed. We have a new heavenly calling. We are your people living on mission and purpose to tell people of you and your glory and your of your love and grace and the death of Christ and the resurrection and his one day his future coming to call us home, Father. May we be the people that you call us to be. God, I pray that you would protect us from the enemy who's so powerful, like a hungry lion seeking whom he may devour. God, may we protect our children. May we protect our wives. May we protect our husbands. God, may we guard our homes. May we not just run away from certain things and bad influence, but may we run to Christ. May we fill our hearts and lives with your word. Surround ourselves with good influence. Be involved in our local church and have accountability of those who love us and care for us, God, that are helping us remain in right relationship with you. God, I love you and I'm so thankful for this church family, and I pray that you would strengthen them. Cause them to be faithful to you, Lord. Use them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we worship the Lord Jesus? Be glorified. Sing this as a prayer as Brother Vaughn leads us.